So markets react to WASDE, react to word of border closing to cattle coming across due to the New World screwworm. Add to it trade talks as well. Lots of factors for this Monday trade. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Sam Hudson's going to join us this afternoon. He's with Corn Belt Marketing to do this breakdown of what we saw in this Monday trade. And a lot of factors were weighing in on this. So let's kind of start out with the WASDE report, because, I mean, I think there was maybe some surprises and some not so surprise, especially when you look at the soybeans. But what was your initial takeaway as you look at the breakdown of those numbers today?
Well, it's even more sensitive than what we were all talking about going into it, Susan. If you look at some of the expected numbers, as you mentioned, were just going to be our acreage numbers and the yield figures that they plugged in. And these were numbers derived back in March that we had received and been kind of projecting them on. But what we didn't know is where USDA was going to put demand. And this is a hot topic button, because with all these trade concerns and happenings going on right now, it could be pretty easy to throttle those up or down when you fast forward 6 to 8 months. So the fact that we plugged in some pretty lofty and optimistic numbers there leaves us in a situation where, stocks to usage could be threatened quite quickly if you have to come off of those trend yields. The trade was looking for a carryout close to $2 billion. So at 1.8, you're a couple, hundred million lower than what we thought we were going to start out in. And you look at soybeans, stock to usage on the projection here in May is already under 7%. So if we have to back off of area or yields for any reason here, the market's going to have a tough time not paying attention to it. But again, you don't have a ton of certainty in this trade happenings just yet. Hopefully we'll get some confidence in that here as we go into the summer months.
So there's going to be a lot of factors that are going to weigh into that. And I think weather is one of the big issues that kind of sits there. Who's going to get rain? Who's going to not? And how that's going to change these numbers going forward.
That's right. And then on top of it, we're not even into the growing season 100% yet, because some places have not planted yet. We went from an early, risk off scenario where it just seemed like everyone was going to get planted and everything's going to be fine. And that may be the case in a lot of areas, but you still have a decent chunk of ground to plant in that I-70 corridor. We've been talking about that quite a lot over the last couple of weeks with all the rain they had over the past month. It's very flat in that region. And so, it doesn't drain well. It takes a little time to dry out. And they were expected to be a little drier towards the tail end of last week and weren't. And so I think that's the first place to watch. If you have a few isolated areas that maybe planted or flooded out, or maybe they haven't even gotten in yet compared to everybody else. And as you mentioned, it'll quickly flip right to who's going to be able to get rain after that to water these crops.
Do you expect any surprises this afternoon in the weekly crop progress report?
Not really. I think we're sure to make huge strides last week. So I fully expect we're going to remain on or ahead of pace. What I'm more interested in would be the data we're going to get for the week of the 19th, a week from today. Let's see who's still on pause here going into the end of the week and what that could mean, because we're getting past that May 15th, kind of a psychological date there for corn. And when we're penciling in a trend yield and it's as dry as it is, if you already have to start talking about concerns this early, it doesn't speak real highly of those numbers.
What about the fact that we saw some agreements being made, a 90-day pause once again, but tariff number percentages taking a big drop between the U.S. and China?
That's right. And that's offering a sense of normalcy. And that's, obviously having an impact on the broader markets with the stock market up, 1,000 points plus or minus. I think this was the best case scenario. I think there's way too much to wade through on these trade agreements, particularly with China, to expect that we're going to get all this done at once. And this is similar fashion to what we saw with some of these other countries where they've kind of rolled back and said, hey, as long as you're going to cooperate, let's roll these tariffs back and find some common ground. And it sounds like that's what's been done. I still am hard-pressed to think we're going to get, a quick and easy path on a full solution here. But this at least offers some buoyancy to our Board of Trade markets and maybe an opportunity to talk about some of the supply numbers that we've discussed already as we get a little bit hotter and see where that rain falls.
You and I were talking before we jumped on the air, looking at the feeder cattle prices and the jump that they've had, this border closing once again. How does one even market moment to moment on this ever-changing world they're in?
Well, you got to stay very short term on this. We particularly, having that mindset and approach here on the feeder cattle. But if anybody's been trying to hedge these markets, it certainly resulted in a margin call. Now, that's not the worst thing to ever happen. It's just as long as you're not double hedged or anything like that. And I still think we lend a lot of support to these markets here long term when you look at the numbers of all of it. Even if we start to see some demand concerns with beef prices where they're at, peak grilling season is basically upon us. And so I think you're going to have a lot of reasons to still keep some support in this. I think the biggest risk would be for those feeders, though, is if you start to bring these feed values back to life globally. And I'm talking about corn and wheat specifically, because we've taken prices to a point where, you know, they are a premium to some of these cash markets in the index in general. And so if you need to take the edge off with all that fund ownership, I would say eventually that's a risk. But there again, Susan, where do we get the numbers to replace all this, and how quickly can that happen?
Well, and the elephant in the room, like you talk about these prices, at one point are the consumers going to say, okay, we're done?
Well, yeah, and that's right. And if you have that happen simultaneously to opening up that border to Mexico again, you know, you take all this premium off, you know, right back off and kind of reset the deck all over again. So I think we should expect a lot of volatility here. I don't think you can just pull the rug out from everything and have cash prices fall that quickly. But when you get the futures market this heated, you know, you always have that inherent risk.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us today. Getting details from Sam Hudson with Corn Belt Marketing. I'm Susan Littlefield. This is the American Ag Network.